Agricultural programming is made possible by Bunge North America in Danville. Bunge recognizes the importance of agricultural production to our society and economy, and the role producers and processors play in providing food and feed to the world.
It's 8:50 on Morning Edition, and time for our first look at the commodity markets for the day after the day off yesterday. Joining us is Dave Dickey. Hi, Dave.
Good morning, Dan, and good Tuesday morning, everyone. The Midwest direct hog markets today are called steady to weaker, but most of the pressure may come from buyers in the eastern corn belt who appear to have their near-term supply needs mostly filled. Terminals are called steady to weaker, with tops from $44.50 to $48. Peoria called 50 cents lower today, with a top price of $44.50. In the Eastern Corn Belt Daily Direct Hog Report from Monday, February 19th, negotiated swine purchases were 12,947. For the base market hog on a 185-pound carcass basis, the base price range was $54 to $68, the weighted average $65.12. On a live basis, barrels and gilts sold from $44 to $54.50, and the weighted average was $52.06. For the Western Daily Direct Hog Report, negotiated swine purchases were 13,146. The base price range was $55.75 to $69.75. The weighted average was $65.62. On a live basis, barrels and gilts sold from $44.34 to $56, and the weighted average was $51.31.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Joining us now with a look at today's agricultural weather is AM 580 Chief Meteorologist Ed Kieser. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Dave. And first off, I'd like to comment on a couple things that made the news last week, and that had to do listening to Commodity Week. Everybody was talking about the NOAA report and the La Nina. First off, I just want to say NOAA every week is giving updates on the status of El Nino and its opposite La Nina, and they didn't really issue a special report. It's just some others, including our own Drew Lerner, who listens to or is a participant on our station, interpreted the reports and came up with his own report, which he provided to his clients, which made lots of news. So those of you that were looking for the NOAA report that some were talking about probably didn't find a special report because there really wasn't one. It's just there are updates to the La Nina situation there, and then others interpret the data to put it into whatever perspective they feel it should be put into. So there's just so some of that's just a little bit of confusion, I think, on how it was reported by some as to what happened last week. There was not some special grand announcement by NOAA. Now, having said that, the El Nino is weakening quickly, and there are some forecasts that we're going to go into La Nina, and El Nino is warmer than average water temperatures in the Pacific Ocean, the eastern Pacific Ocean near the equator, so off the coast of Peru and Ecuador is where you would find that. And El Nino and La Nina, when they occur, are typically strongest during the winter months. So it's not unusual for El Nino to be weakening at this time anyway. And now there may be a La Nina forming, and that's cooler than average water temperatures in the Pacific Ocean near the equator. Now, what does this all mean? Well, when you have large pools of cold or warm water in any of the oceans, that will affect the air above, and that can help deviate the jet stream, and that in turn influences weather patterns around the world. But one word of caution I want to give on this is the farther away from that area you get, the less of a direct impact it has. And here in the Midwest of the U.S., we're pretty far from the equator, and we're rather far from the Pacific Ocean. So while El Nino and La Nina do play a role in the weather that we ultimately get, it's just one of the many puzzle pieces, and there are very few direct correlations to El Nino and La Nina with weather in the Midwest. The only direct correlation we've ever found statistically is that when there's a strong El Nino, which there was not this year, It was a weak to moderate El Nino. When there's a strong El Nino in winter, we tend to have warmer than average temperatures and about half as much snowfall as average. And of course, we've had a lot of winters, El Nino or not, that have fit that category in recent years. Anything else, you cannot determine the weather directly from El Nino or La Nina. It's just one of the puzzle pieces. Now, having said that, a lot of concern goes back to the worst-case scenario, which many use as a benchmark around here is the summer of 1988, and there's all the 1988 talk. And while I'm not going to say there's not going to be a drought this year, I will say that this is not the same as 1988. And in fact, most years, if not all years, are different from prior years. Sometimes you can see some signals similar to other years, but the situation this year is not the same as 1988. So while you're making your decisions, there's always a possibility of drought, and we're overdue for a drought in the Midwest, but some people forecast 10 of every two droughts that occur. So you have to keep in the back of your mind, okay, the markets are moving right now because of the talk of drought. What happens if there's not a drought? And you have to keep that in the back of your mind as well. And just make sure that you allocate things for many different possibilities. And just keep in mind that this is not the same as 1988 going in to this season. And in fact, the soil moisture right now is quite high. We had a lot of rain early on. Now we have this thick snow cover that's going to melt. So going into planting season, if there's any concern, it is a wet ground, but we're certainly not going to be lacking moisture. And as far as what's going to happen later down the road in the summer, there's no way of telling for sure. Now, as far as our weather here over the next week or so, it looks like we're going to be melting more snow with daytime high temperatures above freezing and overnight lows below freezing. Not much in the way of precipitation, maybe a few scattered showers today, then dry tomorrow, Friday, Thursday, and Friday. And then we'll get a parade of weather systems coming through every few days with rain and maybe some snow for the upper Midwest. And we're going to stay in an active weather period, so more moisture is on the way as we go into the early part of March. That's a look at the growing areas. I'm meteorologist Ed Keezer.
The Carle Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carle Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
In the Monday overnight trading session, Kansas City March wheat opened at 495, down a half last trade unchanged. July, 505 and a half, down 2.5 last trade, down 2.75. March wheat at the Chicago Board of Trade opened at 468 and a quarter, up a quarter last trade, down 1.25. July, 491 down a half last trade, down 1.25. December, 509 and a quarter, down 1.75 last trade, down 3. March corn opened at 416 3/4, down a quarter last trade, up 1.75. July, 437 and a half, down a quarter last trade, up 2.25. December, 412 and a quarter, down one last trade, up 1.75. March soybeans opened at 766 3/4, down a quarter last trade, up 2.25. July, 795 3/4, up a half last trade, up 4.25. November, 816 down a half last trade, up 4.5. January 2008, 820 down a half last trade, up 7.5. March soybean meal opened at 229.10, up 180 last trade, up 50. March soybean oil opened at 29.92, up 1 last trade, up 14. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Good morning, Pete.
Good morning, Dave.
Does last Friday's rally have legs this week?
I think it could have a little, but I think maybe not just due to the weather thing that they said Friday. As your weatherman right before you said, El Nino here has to do with the winter weather, not really the summer weather. And maybe from Des Moines west it's that way. But any little Friday showed us that any little anything talking about less crop is going to make the prices jump, and they did Friday. I think today we're talking higher on corn and beans, but it wouldn't surprise me to see them mixed with some profit-taking. But I still think we have higher, further to go, higher.
March futures, of course, enters first day notice this week. It's within a half a penny of its contract high overnight at 420.5. Does it make new highs before going into delivery?
I think it probably will.
All right, then. What about calls?
We're talking 2 to 3, 1 to 2 higher on corn, 2 to 6, 3 to 5 higher on beans, and wheat. We're talking mixed up 1 to down 1, unchanged to down 2.
Turn your attention over to the Merck. What are you seeing there?
We're seeing cattle unchanged to down a little and hogs down a little. They've had a good run up. We think that the cattle are maybe just a little overbought here right now for a little bit, need to have a consolidation and then go higher later.
What advice do you have for producers today on both grains and cattle?
I would be looking at, if you have need to hedge, I'd be looking at hedging. I think we still have chances for the downside later on. But right now we are showing strength. We'll be a little lower today, but we still think that we need to hedge at these high prices.
Thank you very much, Pete. You have a grand day.
Thank you, Dave.
Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Of course, Pete, just one of the many analysts who will be joining us next Tuesday at our all-day Agricultural Outlook meeting in Covington, Indiana. Registration begins at 8:30 Eastern time. The meeting begins at 9 a.m. Eastern. We certainly hope to see you there. We'll have panels on ethanol, of course, also weather, soybeans, and corn. Come on down next Tuesday. You're listening to WILL Urbana, the broadcasting service of the College of Communications at the University of Illinois. The time now, 9:01 Central Time.